They Don't Dance and Tell, written by Bittercape and read by Flower Parish and
K-Burb.
This is a DC and Marvel crossover fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Phil Coulson / Jim Gordon. Summary. Natasha meets Commissioner Gordon. Jason meets Phil Coulson. They both notice the same thing. One. Natasha is very good at being inconspicuous. The best, some would say, although she herself would not. It's not false modesty, but rather an accurate assessment of skills. Natasha is an all-arounder. She has a wide array of skill sets. She can explode and exploit and seduce. She can interrogate and infiltrate and liquidate. She gaslights, gatekeeps, and girlbosses. She has many skills, among which is the fact that she's a chameleon. She can blend in and stand out and play any role. But her many skills come at the cost of true expertise. She's very good at all her various tasks, but she is not quite good enough to fool those who are specialists in seeing through covers and masks. This man, Natasha thinks, is an expert at exactly that. "I have no idea what you mean, officer," Natasha says, and tilts her head in the way that makes her look younger and more innocent, looks up at him through slightly lowered lashes. The man says. He looks average, at first glance. Gray hair, well-groomed mustache, glasses. His coat is slightly loose in the shoulders, camouflaging a more muscular body than expected, again, at first glance.
"You're an innocent bystander with no knowledge of what happened, I'm guessing,"
the man says. His voice is a little rough, from too many cigarettes or too much whiskey, unlikely, or too many late nights. His fingers worry the seam of his sleeve for a moment. "Yes," Natasha says, blinking up at him. She tilts her hip to exaggerate the height advantage he has over her, keeps her shoulders close to her body to seem smaller. He's obviously not biting.
"Right,"
he says.
"Then you won't mind coming with me to give an official statement."
"God damn it. I'm afraid I can't do that," she says, and shifts back into her natural stance. If she's correct, he saw through her before he even approached her, which certainly leads her to believe he could confirm several secret identities if he wanted, but she's dead certain he would not.
"Thought so,"
he says, and tilts his head discreetly for her to follow him a few steps away from the other police officers milling around. He leads her to a bus shelter just a few steps away. It's wide open to the road, but it covers them efficiently from anyone else in the area that she can see, and also from above.
"The bats won't pick us up here,"
he confirms.
"Your government, FBI, NASA."
"Shield," she says, because he has clocked her and can probably figure it out for himself, given the time and incentive.
"And you can't tell me anything about what happened here, I'm guessing."
He sounds resigned, like he's used to unnecessary secrecy and clandestine nonsense. As it happens, Natasha knows someone else who is also very much used to secrecy, necessary or not, and clandestine operations from the other side. Someone she knows very well. Someone she would like to pay back in a couple of different ways. She wants to make him flustered, she wants to tease him a little bit, she wants to have the upper hand, but she also wants him to be happy. This man, she thinks, is similar and different enough to have a chance at making that happen. "I can't tell you," she says, "but I know someone who can."
Two. Jason stretches out as much as he can in the cramped van. His legs are a little too long, and his shoulders are too wide, and the two grumpy agents locked in here with him are actively making things worse. "Fuck, this is boring. and also a little embarrassing. He is just thankful that Barbie doesn't have anything in terms of regular surveillance here, and no reason to hack into anything, as long as he can get out of this situation soonish. Tim is, as far as Jason knows, in jump and busy with some interdimensional kind of nonsense, so he's safe from that angle as well. If whoever's in charge can be bothered to stop by anytime soon, that is. Jason is just starting to contemplate knocking out his guards and kicking out the door, when the back door opens and a man puts a foot up on the floor. At first glance, he looks like a bureaucrat. Bland, slim, mild expression, thinning hair. Wearing a suit, for fuck's sake. A pretty nicely tailored one, too.
"Go get yourselves a coffee, boys,"
he tells the two guards. His voice is mild, no notable accent, friendly, unremarkable. The two guards get up and leave without any kind of comment, and the man enters the van and closes the door behind him. "Danger," screams the little voice in Jason's head, and he pays closer attention. A gun in a modified shoulder holster under his very well-tailored jacket. Calluses on his fingers from said gun, steel tips in his nice shoes, a knife in a spring-loaded sheath under his buttoned cuffs, just loose enough around his wrist for a slim blade to spring free easily. The man is not what he seems.
"Good afternoon,"
he says. He adjusts the knee of his trousers as he sits down. His smile is bland, and his face is mild, and there is not a single fucking trace in his mannerisms of what he really is. The hairs on the back of Jason's neck stand straight up. This man is good.
"I believe we haven't had the pleasure of meeting before,"
the man says.
"I'm Phil Coulson with the Strategic Homeland Intervention, Enforcement, and Logistics Division. Would you mind answering some questions?"
"That depends on the questions," Jason says. His Crime Alley accent slips out a little, as it usually does when in the company of overly neat people. Phil Coulson quirks a minuscule smile at him.
"What were you doing here?"
Phil Coulson asks.
"Intercepting a chemical shipment," Jason says.
It's the truth, and if Phil Coulson doesn't already know that, Jason will eat his own helmet. Phil Coulson says, smiling blandly.
"And why were you intercepting it?"
"It was going to Gotham," Jason says, still completely honestly. "It contained key ingredients for fear toxin, and we have enough of that nonsense."
Phil Coulson says again.
"And why were you the one to stop it?"
"I'm the patron saint of the poor and destitute," Jason says. Phil Coulson
says, to change things up a little.
"Not actually a lie."
Jason says, intelligently.
"Now, who are you precisely?"
Phil Coulson asks. Jason points at his helmet, points at the red bat on his chest, lifts his hands in an exaggerated shrug. Phil Coulson chuckles a little at that.
"Do you have any way to prove your red hood?"
Phil Coulson says.
"Anyone can wear a red helmet."
"Wow, do you talk to Iron Man that way?"
Jason asks, mock affronted.
"What do you want me to do? Show you an ID card?"
Phil Coulson actually smiles at that, and it makes the whole man look completely different. Fascinating.
"Do you have anyone who can vouch for your identity?"
Phil Coulson asks, and Jason is about to laugh at him or suggest he contacts the Justice League, or possibly disastrously, Hawkeye, when he realizes that he does, in fact, have someone who can do exactly that. Someone who, now that he thinks about it, matches Phil Coulson in strange ways. And he doesn't make a habit of playing matchmaker, but...
"If you call the GCPD and ask for Commissioner Gordon, he'll confirm who I am," Jason says.
Phil Coulson's eyebrows rise, almost comically. He says, and fishes his phone out of his pocket. It takes him no time at all to get through to Gordon, which is more than a little annoying.
"Commissioner Gordon,"
Phil Coulson says.
"This is Phil Coulson from the Strategic Homeland Intervention, Enforcement, and Logistics Division. I have a man in my custody who claims to be Red Hood, and who says you will confirm his identity. Yes, I'll put you on speaker.
Yo, Commish, Jason says, and Gordon sighs like a death rattle.
What have you done, Hood?
He says, tiredly. He doesn't even have the decency to make it a question. Prevented a new round with Scarecrow. Not that your lot were any help, Jason says, a little snippily.
All right,
Gordon says, and because he's a really decent guy, he adds,
What do you need?
Aw, Commish, I knew you cared, Jason coos.
I regret everything,
Gordon mutters. Actually, I'm sure Phil Coulson of the Strategic Homeland Intervention, Enforcement, and Logistics Division would feel much easier if he delivered me into your tender care rather than just letting me go, Jason says. And Phil Coulson, for the first time, looks suspicious and hard and exactly what he is rather than what he presents to the world.
Sure,
Gordon says.
If he brings you to Gotham.
Phil Coulson says again.
I'll call you back. Thank you for your assistance.
He hangs up.
What are you up to now?
He asks Jason. You try to be nice, Jason sighs, and all you get is trouble. Phil Coulson squints at him. Inside his helmet, Jason smiles angelically. It's a pity Coulson can't see it. Three.
You gotta give it to them. They have good instincts,
Jim says, leaning back on Phil's extremely comfortable couch.
I'll give them that, yes.
Phil answers, smile warm and real. There's nothing left of the mask he presents here, when there's just the two of them, safe in Phil's DC flat. He kicks his feet up on the table and takes a slow sip from his glass of wine.
And it's good for my ego that my best agent still doesn't know everything about me.
He smirks against the edge of the glass. Jim laughs at that, loud and unabashed.
Just like the world's greatest detective, as he calls himself, still thinks I go on solo fishing trips whenever I come over, Jim says, and swirls the wine in his own glass.
More Phil's taste than his own, but after nearly 10 years, he's learned to appreciate it.
How is Bruce these days?
Phil asks, which is another nugget of delight. Jim has never told him the bat's identities, but Phil knows. It's not in any government database either. He's well aware Barbara has checked very thoroughly.
Being run ragged by Damien, as far as I can tell, Jim says. That kid was always going to be a problem when he reached his teenage rebellion phase. At least he's not left the country yet, like his old man, but I guess he already did the assassin training.
Phil blinks for a moment.
Ah, Talia al Ghul,
he says, like a piece of a puzzle has slotted into place.
I don't want to know, Jim says.
Not doing anything with that information,
Phil says, as if Jim isn't well aware.
I never do.
I know, Jim says, and reaches out to take Phil's hand, pulls it towards himself, and kisses his knuckle.
Done with your wine?
I can be,
Phil says, eyes glittering. Much, much later, Jim is about to fall asleep when Phil rolls over and taps him on the shoulder with light fingers.
Hey, how do you think Jason would like Natasha?
He asks, voice innocent.
The world will never be the same,
Jim mumbles and grins to himself when Phil laughs into the darkness. The end. They don't dance until we live in cities. You'll never see on screen. Not very pretty, but we sure know how to.